Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, places, stories, and events in our Central Iowa community. I am Mike Metz, your host for this hour, here in Studio A, along with engineer Mike Murphy and Milford Township's resident naturalist and good neighbor, Pat Schlerbaum. Also joining us via Zoom is Anna Magnuson, alias Anna Banana. So she's going to slip in a good message for us today. Greetings, folks.
Greetings.
We'll look forward to Anna's message a little bit later in the hour. But first, this.
Every day, it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day, it's getting faster. Everyone said, go ahead and ask her. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Every day seems a little longer, every way love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. A little longer, every way love's a little stronger. Come what may, do you ever long for true love from me? Every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey. Love like yours will surely come my way.
Well, you just heard Every Day, performed by the late Buddy Holly and the Crickets. And we are just thinking ahead a little bit about tomorrow, as remember the day the music died in that plane crash just northwest of Mason City, Iowa, on the 3rd of February, 1959. Well, we're here to welcome Dr. Molly Lee, Associate Director of the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Welcome once again to Local Talk, Molly. Updates with respect to the COVID-19 pandemic, that's what we're most interested in, and you can help us enlighten our listeners a little bit today.
Yeah, sure. So, kind of just running through the numbers in Iowa, kind of like to start with the sad but important numbers. We've lost almost 5,000 people to this virus in Iowa. This was under 3,000 last month, so it continues to increase. And in our county, we've lost about 40 people. Story County, our current 7-day positivity rate is 6%. Our average number of new cases over the past 14 days is 25.4. Of course, most of our cases are in that 18 to 29-year-old age group still, which is, of course, our largest population group in our county. We continue to see case activity in the less than 18 age group. That's the second highest group there. As far as Iowa State University, their weekly positivity rate is 3.96. Story County schools continue to have cases, which vary by district and building, but generally remain less than 3.5%. Some of the schools in our county have been fully in person with the option for remote learning for those who want it. And then some of our district schools, like Ames Middle School and High School, have just recently moved to 100% in person. So numbers for our county as a whole are decreasing. There are certain zip codes that are seeing an increase, though. Gilbert, Huxley, and Maxwell have all seen a jump of between 14 and 19% in average positivity rate since the previous week. So I guess the take-home with the numbers is that cases are falling. Iowa and Story County, you're seeing that decrease as well. But, you know, that daily toll is still very big. And, you know, it's important to remember that this can be a deadly disease for some people, and people are continuing to die.
How are you taking or monitoring this idea that with the new variants appearing here in the Midwest now and in Iowa, how are we going to try to cope with that in light of the fact that the governor is going to be having school enrollment 100% as far as attendance?
Yeah, so with the outbreak so far, you know, there have been a good amount of students who have done remote learning or hybrid learning, whether that's their decision or by rules implemented by the governor and trickled down to the schools. Generally, we do have pretty low spread of cases within the schools. Most of the transmission and cases that we've seen in schools are due to outside of the classroom activities, so those social activities, sometimes the sporting events, things like that. So time will tell, I guess, when we have everybody in person who wants to at the same time, you know. In some cases, social distancing just can't be promised. You know, there's too little space and too many students. Our kids' learning is important, too, so we're hopeful that those mitigation measures that have prevented spread within the classroom, masking, hand washing, sanitation, continue to be protective. But you're right, the variants that we're seeing from the UK and South Africa and elsewhere do tend to be able to spread a little bit more easily. You know, you need a little bit less of that virus to be able to catch the disease. So time will tell, I guess.
Right. And for the staff and the teachers especially, I think this is probably of import because of the fact that they're going to be dealing with a lot more little incubators in some cases coming into their system.
Yeah, that's right. And also, you know, we do have teachers as one of our priority groups with the 1B vaccination group here in Iowa. So those that are taking care of our students and are at risk themselves, they, you know, they are a priority to get the vaccine. And as soon as we can get them into those people, then we're trying to do that as soon as we can. So Story County Public Health is arranging clinics at the schools, and so we'll try to work through our school teachers and also our daycare providers and those other individuals as quickly as we get the vaccine.
Molly, you mentioned the 1B group is now eligible for receiving their inoculations, and I just slipped in. I just squeaked into that group. Do you have any idea on the number of individuals in Story County that are in that waiting list?
So I don't, Mike, have a number of total people that are in that list. I do know that we, you know, every week we get an update of how many are allocations, so the number of vaccines that we get in our county, and it's not enough, you know, unfortunately. So we give a portion of our vaccines that go to Story County Public Health, like I said, who is arranging clinics at the schools, and then also with our first responders, who's that other top priority within the 1B group. And then the rest of it gets distributed out to the clinics, so the healthcare providers, McFarland Clinic, Story County Medical, those other healthcare providers, and that's where those over 65 individuals will get vaccinated through. So really, we'll just keep working through the priority group 1B, specifically that kind of higher tier at the beginning with the over 65, the teachers, and the law enforcement and emergency responders, and then just move on to the next tier whenever we get through them. But I think the short answer is our vaccine supply is more limited than the amount of people that we have to go through that.
Does that seem to be a logistics problem or a supply problem? Do you know offhand? Or
yeah, At least in our county right now, it's a supply problem. We have been pretty efficiently working through, and as soon as we get more vaccine, if it becomes more than our current logistical setup can handle, we have pharmacies ready to step in and help us with distribution and things like that. So right now, it's just an allocation and a supply of what's coming from the federal government to Iowa and then to Story County.
Okay. As far as individuals, are they able to go online or find out if they actually qualify in that 1B group? Is there a way for them to do that?
Yeah, so there's information, kind of what I just summarized in a little bit more detail, posted on the Story County Health Department website. Story County Medical Center and Mary Greeley, so they're affiliated with one another. So if you, you know, Google either of those things, it'll bring you to Mary Greeley's website, which has a page for Story County Medical. It's also on McFarland's page. And then as far as, you know, going online to get an appointment, there's a variety of different pharmacies and things like that that have offered occasional, you know, sign up at this link. What we're doing with our healthcare providers here in Story County is the healthcare providers are contacting the patient. So if you have the opportunity to get a vaccine through a retail pharmacy, I would encourage you to try for that. But otherwise, as a, you know, a resident of Story County, if you have a healthcare provider here in the county that you use, you will be contacted. They have the lists of everybody who's eligible, and you'll be contacted by them.
And that was the case with me, that I was had an initial contact, and will be awaiting instruction and contact for the future when my place in line is getting close to the inoculation sequence. So one other question that I've had a few individuals ask is, once they receive their inoculation, is there a time period when it seems to be most efficacious as far as their protection? I know we're, depending upon the which vaccine, that determines whether they get a single or a two dose in the time period between them, but is there, say, is it 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, when your immune system seems to be operating at its peak?
Yeah, that's a good question. So everybody's immune system is a little different, so it's hard to generalize a number of days. That's kind of, you know, that point where you feel like you're protected after getting your immunization. In general, if you... what we consider someone to be fully protected is if they've received both doses of their vaccine. So that's really the most, you know, scientifically accurate answer I can give. The other side of it is, the longer you've had the vaccine, within that first 2 to 3 weeks, your immunity and your body is becoming more and more prepared all the time. You know, so I don't want to say 3 days or 5 days after vaccination, sure, you're pretty protected, but you're more protected than you were on day one, certainly. And, you know, sometimes you can even feel your body working a little bit. If you feel a little feverish, a little sore, that's your body responding to the vaccine, preparing yourself. So it's getting more and more ready all the time. You know, you're not fully considered fully protected until after you receive both your doses, whatever interval that is, depending on the manufacturer, or just one dose for the one shot vaccine. But, you know, usually that interval between the two is 2 to 3 weeks. So that's a general time frame for full efficacy.
Yeah, that's when people have asked me that same question. Say that, you know, that first, in the two-dose regime, the first one, you're going to have a little localized pain probably, but it's that second one that you might feel a little bit achy and exhibit some of the symptoms. But, for example, in one case, a physician friend of mine said in his second dose that within 36 hours he was feeling back to complete normal as far as he was concerned, but he did have a little achiness and that kind of thing, which indicates that your immune system is doing what it's supposed to do.
Exactly. I've heard some folks actually, you know, a little upset if they don't have any soreness or any kind of symptoms because they're wondering, you know, hey, I didn't get an obvious note from my body saying I'm working on this. But, you know, your body is working on it if you get the vaccine. And it's not a bad thing to have a little bit of side effects because, like you said, that means it's working.
Sure. And the last question I have for you is if for some reason there is a delay in that second dose in the two-dose regime, depending upon the vaccine, of course, is that something that folks really need to be concerned about, or is there essentially some time, a time frame there where they don't have to worry if they're a little late?
Yeah, so we are recommending if you do miss that second appointment for whatever reason to get that second dose in your two-dose regime, go ahead and just schedule it as soon as you can. You know, we recommend that interval because that's what the manufacturers have tested, and that's what the research is going off of for all the data we're seeing about protection. But your body has still responded to that first dose you received and is likely to be primed again by that second dose no matter when it's received. So if it's a couple days or a couple weeks late, we still encourage you to go ahead and get that vaccine, and we anticipate that you will still be protected.
Okay. Molly, is there anything you'd like to add before we close?
You know, I just wanted to say, I think there's a lot of information about, especially, you know, with these new variants and some of the new vaccines that we're hearing about, and maybe a little bit less efficacious than our first Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were. But really, this vaccination effort has just been stellar. These vaccines are really, really good. So I encourage everyone that might be a little on the fence, kind of worried about getting the vaccine. They're really good vaccines. They're going to be key to ending this pandemic, helping us get back to life as normal. In the meantime, keep wearing your masks. Try to avoid crowded environments and keep those safe cyclone cares behaviors.
There you go. And in kind of paraphrasing what Dr. Fauci has to say, the more injections we can get into arms, the quicker we're going to be able to handle this, not only with the first variant, but the variants that have followed since. So,
exactly. Yeah, it's a bit of a race.
Yes. Thank you, Molly. We've been listening to Dr. Molly Lee, Associate Director of the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks again, Molly. And we now are going to take a bit of a break in the form of, I've got a visit with my naturalist neighbor, Pat. You know, Pat, is for some folks today, this is a special event. And they're anxiously awaiting a rather large rodent to serve as a timepiece. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it is Groundhog Day that we are revisiting once again. It's something to look forward to this time every winter as we get a prognostication of what is about to come next.
Okay, so you do have something for us coming next.
Yeah. Phenology is recording nature's happenings when they occur. The first firefly of spring or the last monarch butterfly of autumn are noted in a journal for future reference and comparisons from year to year. Today's phenology is about groundhogs. Yapping and yammering echoed through the wooded valley. My squirrel dog Rufus, a wrangly rat terrier, loved to tree his quarry and bark to summon my attention. Rufus didn't necessarily like to eat squirrels. He just liked to tree them. And in my memories, this was the fattest squirrel imaginable. Way up high, its girth expanded beyond both sides of the hickory branch. Lacking a long, bushy red tail, it took a while to realize Rufus had treed a groundhog. And that day in my teenage years is when I learned that groundhogs can climb trees, or at least that one did that day. Groundhogs are also referred to as woodchucks or whistle pigs. They are a member of the squirrel family, Sciuridae, and weigh about 8 pounds. The most commonly known woodchuck species, the Marmotta, Monax, or groundhog, mainly lives in the eastern part of North America, but also extends into the Northwest. There are 5 other species, however, are all located in the West and have the common name marmot. Groundhogs are known to burrow in fields and pastures, along fences and roadsides, and near building foundations or the bases of trees, leaving mounds of soil at the dig site. Groundhogs are primarily active during daylight hours, usually feeding in the early morning. They are strict herbivores and eat a variety of vegetables, including soybeans and beans and peas and carrot tops and alfalfa and grasses. When not feeding, they are known to sunbathe during the warmest periods of the day. Although groundhogs are slow runners, they scurry quickly to their dens when they sense danger. The primary predators of groundhogs are foxes, hawks, coyotes, bobcats, dogs, and humans. Groundhogs are considered a nuisance pest because they can cause extensive damage to home gardens, farms, orchards, and field crops as a result of their feeding and burrowing habits. When burrowing, they have known to destroy building foundations and, if left unabated, seemingly move the outbuildings to suit their purposes. They create unwanted holes on lawns and cause electrical outages from gnawing on underground wires. Many backyard projects are designed with an interest in landscaping for wildlife with plants and shrubs to feed the birds. However, we also learn that groundhogs are wildlife that love our projects too. Yet groundhogs pose no major public health hazards to humans, just aggravation. A good bait to use for live trapping groundhogs are apples, especially in the spring. Groundhogs are among the few animals that enter into true hibernation, which generally starts in late fall or near the end of October and continues until late February, which brings us to February 2nd, Groundhog Day. Every year on February 2nd, people around the country celebrate Groundhog Day. It derives from the Pennsylvania Dutch superstition that if a groundhog emerging from his burrow on this day sees its shadow due to clear weather, it will retreat to its den and winter will persist for 6 more weeks. But if it does not see its shadow because of cloudiness, spring will arrive early. The Groundhog Day ceremony featuring Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania is the most popular. And data from StormFacts Almanacs show that Phil's 6-week prognostications have been correct about 39% of the time, so you'll be better off flipping a coin than going by the groundhog's predictions. There is another sidelight to observing Groundhog Day that the movie with Bill Murray exhibited so well. When you say that something is like Groundhog Day, the accepted meaning is a situation in which events are or appear to be continually repeated. The reason I like Groundhog Day is Punxsutawney Phil learns to think of others instead of himself. It's the golden rule. He's given a gift of having to repeat the same day over and over until he discovers his purpose. The time loop may be supernatural, but it serves as a metaphor for a typically good life. Whether you feel Groundhog Day is a lot of superstition or a touchstone to reality of life we would like to keep and repeat forever, Groundhog Day is truly one day closer to spring equinox, the transfer of cold weather gear to fishing poles, new growth in the garden, and kites is a welcome development each spring. And that's our phonology for today concerning whistle pigs or groundhogs. I'm Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. Become a member or find the donate button at khoifm.org. And have a happy Groundhog Day, everybody. Cold.
And, you know, Pat, we've got a mutual friend who had just contacted us about some holes that she'd found in her ground and was about ready to take her shovel and fill those in. So she wouldn't potentially get her foot caught or something like that.
Well, yeah, it, she was describing a den, and it had been told that it was illegal to fill that den in, and was kind of asking about the legalities of that. And as a varmint creature, they're not really protected. Groundhogs are really not really protected, but there's a matter of ethics. So if you are going to be trying to relocate your groundhogs or try to fight back, realize that they may be young, and you certainly don't want to do anything that would infringe on their livelihood. And I mean, all God's children got soul, so even groundhogs are. But I hope. I hope all the groundhog people are in anxious anticipation of dawn, and we'll see what the next 6 weeks might bring.
That sounds great. And folks need to know that groundhogs usually have more than one entrance to their den. But, yeah, like Pat says, consider your neighbors, and there are neighbors too. So, and speaking of county neighbors and wildlife, yeah, I have Erica Place here. She's the outreach coordinator with Story County Conservation. Greetings to you, Erica.
I love it.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, how are you doing this morning? Did you find your way in a foggy atmosphere today?
Well, you know, I'm working from home at the moment, so I've not had to venture out in the fog yet or try to look for my shadow.
Oh, yeah. You haven't turned the lights on. It's too bright, right? Okay. Well, Erica, can you briefly review for our listeners some of those upcoming events that County Conservation has in store for us? I think it's been December since we last visited.
Yeah, it's been a little while. So, as always, we are keeping our event calendar on our website up to date with a lot of interesting ways to get connected with us right now. They are mostly via Zoom, but some specific ones that I want to mention are some backyard bird identification classes that are going to be coming up on February 10th. And this is the perfect timing to get ready for the Great Backyard Bird Count. So if you need just a little bit of information to get you started, you can contribute to this community science project, which is the Great Backyard Bird Count, just by watching the feeders that you have in your yard or, you know, going to your local park. You don't have to be a bird expert to contribute to that community science project. So like I said, as always, we have those events posted on our website. So if you just go to storycountyconservation.org, you can see our event listings. A lot of the opportunities are Zoom programs, but we do have some in-person events as well. And I wanted to mention a way that we've recently made it easier for all of the community to participate in those education programs, as well as other outdoor recreation opportunities. We just recently unveiled a new service assistance program. It's called Nature Connect. And qualifying households can now receive 50% off on nature camps, other environmental education programs, camping, shelter reservations. I mean, this is really a program that we're hoping can just provide more people opportunities to connect with nature that they might not have otherwise. So the way you qualify is by getting in touch with Mid-Iowa Community Action, or MICA, and they'll verify your need, and you will receive the discount code that you can use on our website. So,
Erica, am I hearing a little groundhog running around there looking for his shadow this morning?
Not here. No, my cat's being quiet at the moment. So, no, I'm by myself.
I think I know who it is then. So, okay. I'm sorry. What I was going to just ask you about is to let the listeners know, getting back to that great backyard bird count, I believe Cornell University is the headquarters for that, and that whole point, you're trying to make citizen scientists out of the feeder watchers, and you're giving them some pointers on how to participate for that. That's an annual event, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we're going to go over maybe 20 bird species in that program. And those would be birds that you would commonly see in your yard or your local park. So really starting from kind of the basics. Right. So you don't need to be intimidated.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted your flow there. Are you also doing some coordination with the Outdoor Alliance as far as their walks to get out on the trails?
Yeah, I believe those ended in January. I think we just wrapped the last one of those up last Thursday. But we had a lot of people who enjoyed those hikes and built a great community of people to do outdoor recreation together. So, of course, we continue to encourage people to get out and use the parks in the winter. As a reminder, we have snowshoes available for rent at the Conservation Center. So if we get some more snow and you want to hit the trails, it's very reasonably priced to rent a pair of snowshoes for the day and have some fun outside. So that's an opportunity as well.
Yeah, and I like your if we get more snow, because I was out with my pup yesterday and I hit the trail inadvertently because the ice was in my snowshoes, and I've got some cleats on the bottom, but it was a little slick.
Yeah, it's not quite the right snow.
Yeah, and crunchy, that's for sure. Well, yeah, I can't leave without asking about the photo competition that Story County Conservation has annually. Can you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, this is an annual photo contest. It's for amateur photographers. And we have a variety of categories that you can enter your photos in. So maybe you have a beautiful landscape picture within Story County Conservation Parks, or maybe you've got a photo of an animal that's native to Iowa or a plant, or maybe you've taken some photos on your outdoor adventures with family and friends and are showcasing how people connect with nature. We want to see all those photos. And we have divisions for youth and adults. And prizes are going to be awarded, too. So we've also made it very easy to submit your photos. You can now just submit those electronically through our website. So you don't need to print and mount those photos anymore, which can be a little bit costly. You can just submit those electronically, which is, helping us build our photo library that we can use on our website in brochures or newsletters. And we have a lot of different places where we can showcase the photos that you send in an electronic format. So make sure when you upload a photo that it's a high resolution image. We have lots more details on our website about specific guidelines for the contest. So we encourage you to check that out. The submission period starts March 1st, and it runs through most of March. So you've got a lot of time to get your photos in, start rummaging through your collection, and you can submit a total of 3 photos in any one of those categories. So we are, it's one of my most favorite things in the middle of, right when the seasons are kind of changing and we're getting anxious to get outside. I just love to see the photos that people contribute, and it's something that the whole office enjoys scrolling through the submissions each year.
So,
and
yeah, I was gonna say, do you have any way to keep from professional or folks that consider themselves great photographers that maybe aren't the amateur that you're looking for, a way to identify those folks so that you can perhaps
that's a great question. Yeah, trying to keep it to amateurs only. So that's really on the honor system. We aren't doing a whole lot of background checking on the folks that are submitting photos. However, what we suggest is if you've sold a picture, we're no longer considering you to fall into that amateur category. Sure. If you're able to sell your photos and make money, this is probably not the right contest for you.
Okay. One last question before we have to leave. The naturalists, with the school going to 100% attendance, how are they going to handle their presentations for the sign-ups with the classes?
a good question. You know, we've still been doing a lot of virtual opportunities. We've made a lot of resources available on our website for teachers to use. So we're still, you know, having availability and interest on our end for schools to come out to McFarland Park for field trips or other parks. We've not done a whole lot in the schools in person. So I expect that will probably continue to be the trend. I'm, you know, still sticking to virtual opportunities or outdoor field trips. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that change kind of affects how we're able to connect with students here in the next couple months.
Sounds great, because the more folks we can get out there and the more folks that become familiar and comfortable with their area, they start to treat it like home and they want to protect their home. So
absolutely.
Definitely, it's a great thing to get out, even in this kind of weather situation. Quoting an old state naturalist type Cy Runkle, that there's no bad weather out there, because if you get out in nature, there's always something important that you can learn from it. And with that, thank you, Erica Place, the outreach coordinator with Story County Conservation. And we would now like to welcome Susan Guiasta. Hello, Susan.
Hello, good to be here.
Now, what have you got for our listeners today, Susan?
Well, just a couple of reminders. I talked about them last week, but again, today is the start of budget hearings for the City of Ames. So today is the day that departments go before the council and give kind of a high overview of some of the work that they have completed and what they have on store for the next fiscal year. It's not a line-by-line look at each department budget. It's more of a big picture perspective on what the different departments do. So today, Wednesday and Thursday, it'll take us 3 days to get through each department. And they're interesting. If you're interested in a particular department, you can get those agendas on our website at cityofames.org. And then one thing I wanted to make sure I put in a plug for, because I think I've forgotten to talk about this one, is a lot of times we get people who ask how they can volunteer or get involved in city government. And applications to serve on a city board or commission are due by Friday at 5 p.m. As you know, we have lots of different advisory boards in the City of Ames, the Library Board, Parks and Recreation, Historic Preservation, lots of different interests. And even if you're not an expert in those fields, it's a way to get involved and sort of understand some of the issues and concerns that come to city government. And then in an advisory capacity, you can make recommendations to the council to help them make their decisions. So it's a really, it's sort of a first way to kind of dip your toes in the water of city government. We actually have council members who've started out by serving on boards and commissions and moved their way up. We have people who only serve on boards and commissions and never get involved again. It's just a nice way to sort of give back to your community and maybe in a particular area that interests you. Public art is another one. So those applications are on our city website at cityofames.org. Look for boards and commissions.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the main criteria to serve on these is you have to be a resident of Ames, correct?
Yes, you must be in the city corporate boundaries and you must be 18 or older.
Okay, thanks for that qualifier on that. And I see you have a guest with us today that we have visited with in about a month, I think, is the last time I spoke with him.
Yeah, I thought it would be a great opportunity now that we're into the month of February to sort of take a look back at how our foray into live music has gone virtually. Craig Kaufman is constantly trying to think of new ways to provide venues for our local live musicians and to utilize the facilities that we have at the City of Ames. And that creative thinking led him to produce a virtual series. So I wanted Craig just to kind of talk about where he's been and where it's coming in the future.
Oh, great. And Craig, before I start with you, I just want to, this is just between you and me, but today is Groundhog's Day for you too, I understand. So, maybe you'll get my drift, but how are things going? How have things been going with you, Craig, and with the program that you've attempted to instigate here?
You know, things are going well. We started into this probably back in October with our first sort of test. And, you know, we improved a lot on even just that. You know, I think I mentioned it the last time. We were able to get a grant through the state of Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs to purchase some new equipment. And even in between our first event with Vanessa Ellsbury and between her and Matt Woods playing, we actually even got a new computer in for this that was part of that grant that just had not shown up yet. So we, you know, we put that into place, and we've been getting a little better and a little smoother every week. And I think people are really enjoying them. And we've had a lot of people tune in live, but I think the thing that is surprising to me is how many people are watching the videos after the performances are over.
Yeah, and the thing about the videos is that they can repeat that if they want to, especially something that's favorable. And I know in the past I have it kind of going in the background when I'm doing something else. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one other nice thing about it is that, you know, the artists are very cooperative, because what this will give all of them is a nice piece of video that they can then use in promoting themselves, you know, in the future. So for a lot of them, you know, we're doing this optional virtual ticket thing. And a lot of them are choosing just not to take any of the money. They just want the video and they want to be able to use it in their promotion for themselves down the road.
Sure. You know, it's only about 45 days until spring. I don't care what Punxsutawney is going to tell us, but, what do you have in store before maybe we get to do some outside activities?
You know, we've got a couple things. You know, we've got a lot of our regular April, May, June rentals are still holding on the calendar as of right now. So, you know, we've got those things still coming up. We also, Susan and I still need to talk a little bit about the date for this, but we are going to resurrect the film festival meeting that was supposed to happen last year that was canceled due to COVID. So we're going to try to do that before the summer as well, hopefully sometime in March. So look out on the calendar for that. But I think, you know, people are excited about that idea, and hopefully we can get a good turnout online for that meeting.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. And do you, in my reference to spring and then into summer, how does it look? Are you trying to plan for some band shell activities? I know that's a ways in the future, and it's uncertain, of course, but do you have that in the back of your mind as far as some preliminary planning?
Oddly enough, I was actually just talking to Dr. Galimo yesterday because I said to him, you know, I know that at the beginning of the pandemic, things were moving very slowly, but it seems like now things are going so quickly that summer's just going to be upon us before we can even realize that it's here. And I say that knowing how much snow there is on the ground right now. Sure. But yeah, we are definitely looking at that. You know, we're doing it basically what we're doing with every other parks and recreation thing that's supposed to happen over the summer is we're just kind of making a few plans. It's, you know, we have time, so we're taking the time to plan out. You know, I think I sent to Keith yesterday 6 or 7 different scenarios of what, you know, what we would be able to do for municipal band this summer.
Sure.
And then we're having conversations about what summer events could take place safely and what those scenarios look like as well for other people like the JCs or things of that nature.
Yeah, I know when I drive by the Bandshell Park there, especially in the dusk times when the lights are on and you see the rainbow of colors, it just brings back feelings of summertime and what we've held in the past there. So look forward to that, that's for sure. And I know there are other citizens that really miss that. So is there anything else you want to add before I check back with Susan?
Well, I'll just, you know, I'll throw a plug in for the upcoming concerts. We're going to keep doing these virtual concerts. Actually, now it's looking like we're going to be going through the second week of April. But for our February lineup, Thursday this week, we have Michaela Thompson, who goes by Mianne as her stage name. She's going to be playing the piano and singing some songs. She's really fantastic. Then the following week, we've got Evan Campbell, who is, he's a local favorite around here. He moved away to Germany for a while, so we're really happy that he's back in town. and he's going to play next Thursday. Then that following Thursday is Great Caesar's Goat, who's a band who plays around here quite a bit. A lot of people on Ames are familiar with them. And then I'm drawing a blank as to who the final concert is in February, but all the information is on our Facebook page. If you go to the City of Ames website under Living, you can find the auditorium page, and it's all up there as well.
All right. Thank you, Craig. Susan, any last words before we have to move on?
Just as Craig noted, City of Ames is very active on social media, so it's a great place to look for your resources. City Auditorium has a Facebook page, as does the City of Ames. And if you're really interested in niche departments, make sure to check out our City of Ames Fire, Police, and Water pages on Facebook. If you like very specific information on each of those, the aggregator, the big source of all information, is cityofames.org. We have everything you could ever want on that site. So please stay informed, and we'll do our best to get that information out to you as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks again for stopping in and visiting with us this morning. And thank you, Craig. And with that, we'll let you folks go. And gosh, you know, we've got somebody in our studio right now via Zoom. And
In a banana.
We really had a bunch of stuff this morning so far for our listeners. You get it? A bunch. Can you add to the tally by sharing some of your heart-to-heart magic with our KHOI listeners?
I think I can, Mike, because it's Tune In Tuesday as I try and tempt you to listen to KHOI this Tuesday today. So to tempt you, how about starting with the lyrics to one of the Waffle House Jukebox Favorites, Volume 1, by Danny Jones, that goes like this. I walked into the Waffle House and sat down at my seat, looked over the menu over while decided what to eat. Out came the little guys who winked at me and said, be sure to choose the Raisin Toast they popped into the bread. So why did I pick this song besides the fact that I do enjoy playing the Waffle House jukebox when I do go to the Waffle House?
You know, that sounds kind of syrupy to me.
Have you ever been to the Waffle House? The syrup is caked on the placemats, but it's still good, and you get to listen to the Waffle House music. But why did I pick the Waffle House music? Well, because if you tune into the Donna Lotta Kitchen Show today at noon or 7 p.m., you can listen to the dynamic duo, Chef Donna and Farmer Lana, talk about waffles for a winter brunch. Brioche, which could be the bread that the Waffle House uses for their Raisin Toast. Probably not. I'm guessing it's just white Wonder Bread. They'll have fun with pudding recipes. And then they'll have a think ahead to the garden season, which we're all looking forward to. Hear that, Punxsutawney Phil? We're looking forward to spring. And they'll do a celebration of the story, The Little Red Hen, which sounds like a great show. So again, what is this Donna Lotta Kitchen Show? Well, Donna Lotta Kitchen Show talks about food, farming, recipes, advice, and opinions. They explore the local food scene with lively discussion and good humor. And again, you can hear that at noon today or repeated at 7 p.m. Now, Mike Metz, this one's for you, Heart to Heart Message, authored by Catherine Catalaya in 2016, but still relevant today because she wrote this. I don't tend to take much stock in the ramblings of an unhappy, large ground squirrel, but on Groundhog Day, everything changes. Regardless of what Punxsutawney Phil decides today, 6 more weeks of winter or early springtime skies, spring will get here when it wants to. The predictions of a woodchuck afraid of its own shadow isn't going to change that. And really, there's something that's worth celebrating. Surely there's absolutely nothing fun about winter. Yes, it seems to go on and on forever, even after Punxsutawney Phil mandates spring's arrival. But spring is coming eventually. That much is inevitable. So take solace in knowing that pretty soon the sun will come out, the snow and slush will melt, and we will once again be welcoming spring with open arms, and there's absolutely nothing Punxsutawney Phil can do about it. So ha ha. So Mike Metz, what is the science behind this groundhog seeing or not seeing a shadow? isn't really a scientific way to predict spring's arrival.
Well, I'll tell you, the naturally inclined groundhogs probably don't really care. It's poor Punxsutawney, and I think he's called Polxsutawney because I'm sure he's arisen by the folks in their top hats to determine whether he's going to see his shadow or not. So he's kind of pushed along a little bit. But, you know, like I told Pat, we're halfway through this winter season, and so spring's going to get here. I calculate in just a little over 6 weeks whether the rodent says it or not. Pat?
Well, in the words of our intrepid engineer, Mike Murphy, Punxsutawney Phil is a rodent, not a meteorologist.
Did you hear that, Anna? He's a he's a rodent, not a meteorologist. So I agree with that. But yeah, so there you go.
So what did I ask you, the science behind Punxsutawney Phil? Well, because I know that you and Sam Wormley are the host of Science Bites, and so I know that you can answer that question, which you did, when I won't repeat it over and over again, like Groundhog Day. Da, da, da. But Mike Metz, what's going on at Science Bites today?
Well, before I cover that, I just want to say, Anna, that, you know, a lot of us have gotten this hint from you that you really don't like the winter season and you're really looking forward to spring. And just think, if you didn't have winter, how less special spring, summer, and fall would be to you. And, you know, so you can just kind of sit out there under a nice tree in the sun and watch the groundhogs chewing on daisies. So today on Science Bites, it's going to be a rebroadcast. Sam Wormley and Mary Richards and I talked about the myths of the science behind quantum physics. And so we're going to review that. I think it's timely.
No, that sounds good. So that's at
4:30 to 5 o'clock Tuesday afternoon.
So now if you tune in at 8:30 tonight, you get to spend time with me for the Heart to Heart Messages show. And I select songs to match to the guest messages on our Heart to Heart conversation. And today's program is dedicated to all those who use their time and talents to help those in our community who need help with rent, utilities, food, transportation, and other emergency assistance with dignity, encouragement, and support. So Loris Olson, an Ames New Kiwanis Club member, will be joined by Charlie Weber and Lori Allen from the Good Neighbor Emergency Assistance Nonprofit Organization. I will then ask them why they care about making a difference, and I'll play a song that I match to this heart-to-heart conversation. Especially Mike Metz. Can you guess a song from my dedication and lyrics? A willow deeply scarred, somebody's broken heart, and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of wind you see, because they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Oh, God. Okay, I won't sing. Can you guess the song, Mike Metz?
I know. Love is a many splendored thing.
You're so close, but so far, far away from the right answer. And you can find out why Mike Metz is incorrect. Tune in to KHOI 89.1 FM tonight at 8:30 p.m. Now, I'm putting him on the spot, but a sneak preview, let's jump to Thursday. Mike Murphy, what's going on with You Name It, which I was on the show last week, 1991, which I failed to tell you that my sister remembered that she's got a criminal brain. When we were in that car accident, the first thing she said is, switch places with me. But what's going on Thursday?
It's going to be, it's winter music for your discontent.
Winter music for your discontent is what he's going to play.
Well, that will match my mood.
And that's a play on a certain play.
This sounds like a great show. I can't wait. So it's time for Anna Banana to split. So until next time, I hope that your days are connected to a community of love, care, and support. That is KHOI, the heart of Iowa, which is you and me. And I'm hoping for better days ahead with spring days. I don't care what you say about enjoying the weather no matter what. I want spring. That's you, my friend.
Oh, Anna, you know, you just brighten our, it's foggy out, but the fog just parted. The sun is shining. There's a little rainbow in the sky after listening to you and your heart-to-heart messages. What do you think, Pat?
Well, very well put.
Yeah. You've got everybody in the studio just rolling here today, Anna. Yeah. So, and with that, I'm gonna turn this part over to Pat.
Yeah. You've been listening to Local Talk here on KHOY Community Radio. Remember that you can also hear it online at khoyfm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. KHOY provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOY. KHOY is a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media. Live streaming of our broadcast can be found online at khoyfm.org.
And this program is produced by Lynn Carey and Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for the work, folks. And it's also engineered by Mike Murphy. Mike, I don't know when you go home, but thank you very much for taking care of all of us here. You heard today from Dr. Molly Lee, Associate Director of the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. We also heard from Erica Place, Outreach Coordinator with Story County Conservation. And we also heard from Susan Guiasta, the City of Ames Information Officer, and from Craig Kaufman, who is in charge of the City Auditorium and Bandshell Performers and that program. I have been your host, Mike Metz.
Please consider becoming a member of this fine community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoyfm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member.
And Anna.
Yes, our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9 a.m. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOY meaningful and possible. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KHOY. And
see you again on the radio.